the nation, the world. Families are being torn apart. Reputations are being unnecessarily ruined. All the result of false memory syndrome. You've read about it, heard about it. But what is the true nature of this syndrome that has caused such frightening results and has even split opinion in the mental health community?
Early in December, we received a phone call around midnight, and she was hysterical, and she sounded slightly drunk, and she was screaming over the phone that she now remembered who had done these things to her, and it was Dad. Now, we knew she had been seeing a counselor. I assumed it was a marriage counselor. I had often looked after her children when she had appointments, but we never discussed what the problems were.
How we felt to be accused, you feel isolated and shocked and scared. She never gave us any specifics about what supposedly happened to her between the ages of 6 months and 10 years of age. It came out through discussions with her brothers and sisters that not only had I abused her, raped her, but her mother first of all witnessed it, but then all of a sudden her mother was in on it. And then all her brothers and sisters, it happened to them. And then it got into satanic rites and
she actually
babies being killed. And
she actually started the satanic ritual things that she was conjuring up.
Joni tried desperately to get her brothers and sisters to go along with her. And they told her no, you know, that they didn't have any recollection.
This is the tragedy of false memory syndrome. Adult children, holding the false belief that horrible sexual abuse occurred to them as children, are accusing and cutting off their families and loved ones. Richard J. Offshee, Ph.D., Professor of Sociology, University of California, Berkeley, winner of the Pulitzer Prize.
And so what we're seeing in recovered memory therapy is the most dramatic, the most politically correct, the least substantiated madness that it's possible to imagine in the mental health professions.
Pamela P. Fried, Ph.D., Executive Director, False Memory Syndrome Foundation.
The demographics of the families that contact us are fascinating and in themselves raise lots of questions that need to be answered. We found that for the people who are making the accusations, they're primarily women, about 90% of them, primarily in their 30s, and most of the reports fall between ages 25 and 45.
The accusations range from very vague and non-specific incidents to detailed acts of satanic ritual abuse.
Paul R. McHugh, M.D., BIPS Professor of Psychiatry, Director, Department of Psychiatry, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine.
People come to a therapist because they've got a disorder, a psychological state that causes them distress. The repressed memory therapist then says to this now quite vulnerable person, looking for an explanation, that I, the expert, know that your symptoms are the signs of something that has happened in your past. It's a powerful suggestion to a vulnerable patient.
I was suffering from bulimia, and it became bad enough to where the counselors that I was seeing thought that I would need inpatient treatment. So I went to a hospital that had a very highly respected eating disorder unit, and I stayed there until my insurance ran out. And during that time, I had a therapist who was she was a bitter woman, very paranoid, and insisted that all women had been abused, you know, by men in society in some way, and was very insistent that I had been abused. And she was very specific. She felt that I had been abused by my father.
The quarrel comes with the therapy that says, we know, because of the symptoms you have now, that a particular set of events must have happened in your history, and we will help you, quote, recover them. This has a number of false aspects of practice to it. most important one being that you can't tell the past from the present.
The kind of situation that I and others are concerned about are situation that arises when, let's say, the woman patient goes into therapy.
Elizabeth F. Loftus, PhD, professor of psychology, University of Washington.
She's a little depressed, she's not that interested in sex, and the therapist starts to say something like, you know, everyone I've seen with those symptoms had some sexual trauma in their past. I wonder if something like that happened to you. And then maybe dreams start getting interpreted just with the right degree of suggestion. All kinds of false memories can be constructed.
He said, you know, can you see people in black robes? And my finger went up, yes, because I could see it. I mean, just when I said it to you, you probably imagine that, you know?
It's very, very difficult to tell the difference between a genuine memory and one that is a product of suggestion. And the reason is that with enough suggestion, people can start to remember things that didn't happen. They can be quite confident. They can be quite detailed. And so these false recollections have all the characteristics of some of our real memories.
During the time that I was in the private hospital, you know, I questioned every day whether this was real and whether I could be making this up. And I was always told with great confidence that it wasn't possible to come up with these details and memories with that much emotion.
The people who do research in memory have been consistent in terms of their description about the memory processes, and that is that memory is a very constructive, a very creative process.
One of the things that we know about memory is that it doesn't work like a videotape recorder. We don't just record the event and then play it back later the way a videotape would work. The process is much more constructive. What we're actually doing when we remember is we take bits and pieces of experience, combine them together, and we are essentially constructing our memories.
I can remember, I felt myself actually there. I felt like I was really there, and I was reliving it, and just being horrified.
Research has shown, experimentation has shown, that with suggestion, you can create entirely false memories.
To actually believe my eyes had witnessed these things made me just feel horrible inside, like an evil person, even though I was not an evil person, you know? And those memories are false. They're are not true.
One of the thoughts about how a false memory gets constructed is that some of the raw material comes from books and stories, from television, from the talk shows.
We shouldn't begin with a patient who is distressed and disturbed and begin talking to them about issues like repression. We shouldn't talk to patients about things of that sort that we use ourselves to explain things. We certainly shouldn't give patients books that suggest to them further homework to do to develop an idea. Well, the kinds of memories that produced in this kind of therapy run the gamut from simple kinds of beliefs such as I was neglected or abused by my parents, right out to satanic ritual abuse beliefs, the belief that somehow you were taken up into a crowd of people that wore red robes and ate babies, to the ultimate absurdity now of being carried by aliens into spacecraft where you're sexually abused.
There was different ritualistic things at the altars, and you know, people would be hung, and I could hear the chanting in my mind.
As far as evidence is concerned for satanic cults in particular, there is no more evidence found for them than was found for the witch trials in the 16th and 17th century. There is no bag of bones, no pot of blood, no robes, no anything having been discovered. It rests purely on the testimony of individuals subject to suggestion.
In 1985, I decided to go in and seek some therapy for depression.
The multiple personality disorder is also a psychological artifact. That is, an idea about yourself that gets encouraged and developed by therapists, usually, who present you with the possibility that maybe you are 2, 3, or 4 people, even up to 100 people.
My therapist started to develop personalities into me, and she developed 8 personalities.
This disorder was a very rare condition up until about 1970, when a book was published in the paperback industry, a book titled Sybil, that proposed that this rare condition that had previously been acknowledged to be an artifact was in fact perhaps a natural product of sex abuse. With that, multiple personality diagnoses took off.
One personality was a criminal, one personality was a female.
Now I'm seeing case after case of someone who's discovered to be MPD, and they are free from prior hospitalization, free of the kinds of histories that used to characterize people with given that diagnosis.
The devastation false memories bring to bear is enormous. Everyone suffers. The family suffers. The patient suffers. But there is hope.
So I said, we're anxious to get together, and you and your husband, Charlie, we'll sit down and talk with you anytime. But we can't admit to something that didn't happen, because that's not going to be good for you.
Reconciliation is possible within families. We're now aware of hundreds of families that have started the process of trying to rebuild the bonds and move on with their lives as a family again.
At the same time, now our relationship is so strong. We really appreciate each other more, so we've been able to move on from that.
I think now, in particular, in contrast to a few years ago, the reconciliations become more possible. People are less dug in than they were a few years ago.
I got this letter from Mara, and it was very unusual that I would get a letter. It's a big, thick envelope. And I opened it, and it was just unbelievable. Or accusations of rape and incest.
It was almost 2 years since I accused him, and I had such a fear of being wrong. And so I finally realized all this, and I knew I had to apologize to my father. And I was like, I didn't know if he would accept it. And he just welcomed me with open arms. It was such a wonderful reconciliation we had.
Having those memories was a terrifying experience. Basically, every reality I had growing up, all of my perceptions of stability and happiness and love and safety were totally destroyed. And I had no idea what I would remember next, and I had no idea where it would end. And the fact was, it wouldn't end, because none of them were real.
The people who believe in their memories are not liars. They are people who have been persuaded to hold these views out of their therapist. They are, in a sense, victims of their therapist.
Oh, I absolutely don't question that she believes what she has said. Not in the least. I think she's just been completely brainwashed.
Located in Philadelphia, the False Memory Syndrome Foundation is a nonprofit research and educational organization founded in part to help families and retractors cope with the result of false memory syndrome, to help professionals understand the issues involved, and to solve the problems associated with this devastating syndrome.
The False Memory Syndrome Foundation has just been a lifesaver, nothing short of that.
This has drawn us together.
The social ramifications of the false memory phenomena are a huge, substantial waste of healthcare dollars, and the unnecessary infliction of pain first upon the patients of these practitioners and then upon their families.
Because child sexual abuse is such a serious problem, all of us, the foundation and everybody, should work together to see that our policies and our mental health practices are so good that they will encourage true victims to come forth and discourage false accusations.
For more information, contact the False Memory Syndrome Foundation.